It's like Christmas. I get to come see one of my favorite people, Dr. Anna Alvarado of Freeport School District 145. For those of you that don't know, I was a part and am a part of Freeport School District 145. I am in my 36th year as director of theater. Dr. Alvarado, did you realize that Jeanette Lloyd was only here 35 years?
That is incredible.
And I'm here 1 year more.
And it's so beautiful. That renovation
that
2 years
great.
Ago is just really, that facelift that it got. Ooh,
yes.
Can't you know, deny it.
If I could get a facelift like that.
You and me both.
Well, we're not.
You and me both.
Yeah, we're not just going to have a conversation. We thought we'd joke a little bit about it at the beginning. But basically, there are a lot of new things that are taking place this year for the 25-26 school year of FSD 145. And I wanted Dr. Alvarado to, as excited as she is, I wanted us to have her tell us everything about it. Welcome.
All right. So happy to hang out with you again, Mr. Connors.
I know. It's just, you know, it's one of these things. It's the beginning of the school year. We're going to have auditions for the musical in the second week in September and then do some big speech things again. And it's exciting.
And that's a great thing about the beginning of the school year. The buildings look fresh and, you know, floors newly waxed and the classrooms just look impeccable and the kids are, you know, finally all coming back. Some are still yawning a lot, but it takes a little while.
I bet a couple of teachers are still yawning too.
It takes a little while to get the groove, going and the rhythm.
It definitely seems like the groove is there. It seems like you've started off strong with some decisions that have been made and things seem to be going incredibly well. You know how much I love this district and I really am excited to see the changes that you've made. So what are some of those changes? What are some things that you're so excited about that you want our people that are listening to Timbuktu and FreePod to know about?
Yeah. So first of all, I wanted to tie our theme this year, which is We Belong Here. And this theme is about the new configuration of the buildings, you know, new restructuring, starting with the preschool expansion project that we started last year. We had such a great ribbon-cutting event. Wherein communities invited, board members, families. We had a balloon arch, Tim. Imagine that with a bee. Because their mascot is Basil the Bee.
Basil the Bee, okay. Uh-huh.
They're going to be very busy bees
all
this
right.
summer.
We like that.
And you know, when you think about an undertaking like this, that creating an early childhood center, you know, there's something in your brain that tells you this is what it needs to look like and exceeded your expectations, right? So, you know, I commend the teachers, the staff, you know, all staff, paraprofessionals, everyone who, you know, came together to make this happen for our kids and families. So the first day was really fun. It was a hoot. Last Friday was their first day and, you know, I was there helping. Even there, I have to take you to their cafeteria. It's little tables, little chairs, because they have to. Their feet have to touch the floor. So we were opening ketchup packets. You know, that's how fun it was.
I bet.
So, but I think it really positions our 3 and 4 year olds, you know, to have such a great preschool experience that they'll be ready for kindergarten. And then allows us to have a more cohesive approach to, you know, to the curriculum, professional learning, professional development for teachers. And I think most of all, just really creating a community with the families. You know, we want them to really be engaged in Freeport. And you can't start that sooner than, you know, in early childhood. And of course, we did some building improvements. You know, Black Hawk School got the HVAC renovation. The building looks spectacular. New windows.
Oh, can't wait.
It's beautiful.
Can't wait to see it.
It looks like the windows at our high school.
It's just nice.
Like, oh, it's so beautiful. FMS as well. We did some tuck pointing work and the new windows came on the back of the building, which is where the gym is. Mm-hmm. again, you see these beautiful windows, light through. We're waiting for the shades to come, but it'll be, you know, it'll be there.
Well, the renovation that you had talked about earlier of our theater, beautiful on the inside. And there are so many beautiful aspects of that middle school. And right. I go there a lot, of course, right. because of what I'm doing. But watching this summer and watching what they were doing, I'm like, wow. And then all of a sudden you take a look after it's finished and you look around and you see the new windows. That building just,
right.
it's beautiful now.
So we have to do it in phases. So next year we will do the full building, full FMS windows, and then we'll, you know, have another, identify another school, elementary school that needed some upgrades as well, right? And I think we have to think about long-term, right? So we started with, the playground, you know, investing in newer playgrounds in a few years ago. And, you know, it's really important that we look at our facilities as learning spaces for kids, right? One of the best news that I delivered at the kickoff last Wednesday was we now have a 10-year facility improvement plan, a capital improvement plan.
Wow.
Right? Which is, we've worked with Green Associates, who's an architect group, that identifying every building, where the needs are, the infrastructure needs, the budget that it's going to take, and more importantly, the timeline for you know, plumbing, power and lighting, electrical systems, proposed improvements, and how much it's going to cost us in the next 10 years. Because we can't just wait for things to crumble and then, you know, in a panic mode, have to repair. You know, we have to shut down the school because, you know, the roof is, you know, caving
right.
in.
Right.
So I think those are really important things, in thinking about our facilities and the future of our, you know, our district.
Well, the love that I have for Freeport High School and how beautiful it is. Whenever I bring friends into town, that's the first place that I go, because it is. You go over on Mosley Street,
right.
and you look at that building,
the new turf.
Yeah, you look at everything around there, and it's like right. it's that school has had so many wonderful improvements added to the beauty
right.
of the building yeah. itself. It's a great place to go to school.
Pretty historic, you know. And then yeah. again, the you know, so when we took out the preschool out of the elementary building, we were able to then expand from a pre-K to 4 to a K to 5 model in every elementary building, which really gives us more opportunity for curriculum, you know, continuity, right?
Right.
You know, K to 5. And then you've got the FMS 6 to 8 building, and then the Jones-Farrar expanding their program all the way to 8th grade to next year. You know, one less transition for our students, I think, you know, it's very helpful, right? So I know, you know, the We Belong Here theme really centers around sometimes we are asked as adults, you know, as employees of the district, we are asked to do things that are, you know, not necessarily easy to accept or maneuver because, you know, you're a teacher, right? How long were you in that classroom?
I was in that classroom.
Hundreds of years.
Yeah.
right.
Thank you. That's
right?
why I need the face
That's
of them.
Right. So, you know, schools are families, right? And, you know, they're families that, you've grown to love them. It's a community in itself. It's a little village in itself. And then when you kind of, you know, reconfigure, you know, there's an emotional attachment to our buildings, and that's normal, right?
Right.
So the We Belong Here really is, now that we have, you know, staff that had to move to different buildings, but really creating, you know, a culture where we can all work together, where we see each other, and a culture where, you know, kids feel welcome, staff feels welcome. And that's a lot of work to do, right? It's easier to talk about it than actually do it.
Sure, there's a lot of emotions that come into play,
I would assume. But I think, you know, we're all social, you know, individuals, and connection is really important to us. So I'm excited to, you know, to build on this theme for the rest of the year. So mm-hmm. another great thing is, hey, our freshman on track, you know, data has improved 5 points, 5 percentage points.
Outstanding.
So, and the great thing about that is, you know, there's the academies at the high school, right? You know, you've got the HEAL Academy, Create Academy, Lead Academy, but there's also the Freshman Academy,
right?
Right. And it's really concentrated effort, support, by, you know, freshman teachers, you know, doing that hard work. So to just, you know, see that they had gone up to, you know, 5 percentage points is very not just exciting, encouraging, right? Encouraging for our, you know, our current ninth graders now, because we want kids to be able to graduate, right, in 4 years.
Of course.
You know, so, and with that, if you increase freshmen on track, so these are the kids who have earned 10 semester, you know, credit hours and not more than one F, right, in a core subject. So when you have students who are on track to graduate, you also increase your graduation rate. So, and that was another, you know, great news that I was able to share, you know, at the kickoff. So graduation rate is from 75% to 80%.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it's remarkable. So we will continue. We're not satisfied with that. We'll continue to build on it. So, yeah. And then, you know, we, of course, we understand that we have work to do. So one of the priorities for our district this year is for students in K to 2 is intensifying foundational reading, right? The structured literacy, meaning, you know, foundations in reading, making sure by the end of third grade, our students, at least, you know, 80% of our students, or hopefully more, will be reading at grade level. Okay. So, and then intensifying the writing as well in grades 3 to 8. So, you know, so all that is all different pieces of the work. So
it's amazing. And I always pat you on the back because you're wonderful and you deserve it. But I'm serious with this question. How do you decide? How do you decide we need to focus on this?
Yeah.
We need to focus. Well, we can hold off on that for another year.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah, because the truth is if you prioritize everything, then nothing is a priority, right? So the thing is you really look at the spring data at the end of the year and then you keep questioning yourself. How come? In like the data that I've showed, right? In kindergarten, we have a lot more students who are in the category of being proficient. And then we sort of start to see, you know, this based on the spring assessment that they took, you know, both in math and reading. So in math, particularly, we have, you know, our kindergarten, let's say, was on the 72nd percentile, but who are above proficiency, right? With the standards. But then why does that number start to go down?
Right.
So I think when you start to look at that and similar in ELA, right? So if you start to look at that, we have to ponder on the why and then we look for evidence. So one of the things that being an advantage of being in a K to 12, you know, district is you see the progression, right? So when I start to see, let's say I always look at one of my benchmark grades is third grade, and then your eighth grade and then your ninth grade, and you see our students progressing.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not, why not?
Right.
Right. And then you start to look at critical things such as what is, we know that, you know, evidence-based practices in reading particularly, it is so important for kids to be able to decode words and, right. So, okay. And if you walk the classrooms, right, you see common patterns and strands.
So if it's evidence-based practices, mm-hmm. that means that teachers see this because of
correct.
The testing,
right.
the data.
And
sees
what
it.
Is research what? Telling you about, you know, when kids are not able to read at particular grade level, what are some of the interventions that we should be providing, right?
Okay, great.
And then you look at the curriculum itself, the curriculum that we're using, right? Mm-hmm. So 2 years ago, we had a change in the reading curriculum, right? We're using the inter-reading and HMH. Teachers were saying like they love the text, they love the stories, whatever. But then you ask yourself, is it enough? So that's where we jumped into a conclusion with principals, with teachers saying we need to really intensify the phonics program, the foundations reading.
Oh, okay.
And so last spring, our schools in the, you know, K-2 piloted the different phonetics program. And the team decided what they're going to use this year.
Okay.
So this year they're doing structured literacy.
Okay.
So every K to 2 classroom will be devoting a certain time during the day, like 30 minutes, heavy duty on phonics foundational reading so that we know that if kids can't read, they might be able to comprehend your story, but they have to be able to read.
Sure.
So that's how we know we determine priorities.
So I guess, you know, you've told us about all of these wonderful things that are taking place in the district and how we're improving and all of these great things. To finish off today, I guess my final question to you is to all the parents of a early childhood to a senior in high school parent, why should they be proud to be in this district?
They are proud to be in this district because I know that parent voice matters, right? One of the things that I continue to struggle a little bit, right, as a superintendent is getting parent voice, especially using the Five Essentials survey. That's a survey that students, teachers, parents take in the spring, right? It opens up in February or March, you know, for a couple of weeks, because that that is one of the areas where when we understand, you know, what parents are thinking or saying, you know, we can continue to build on, right, those ideas that they have. I think we have a really dedicated group of individuals in this district who really is so committed and they're champions for kids. Okay. But the parent, the home school partnership is so critical to advancing, right, the success of our students in the school.
Sure.
So I could see, you know, when I go to games, right, when I go to school events, they're packed, right, especially in our elementary. But one thing is, how do we continue that trend all the way to middle school and high school?
Right.
I think sometimes, right, is in, you know, in schooling, we think, you know, get involved when you're, you know, what, pre-K to fifth, and then it starts to wane a little bit in the middle school and then high school, you know, right? So I think we need to keep that intensity of that home school partnerships. And really, it's beyond just attending assemblies, right? It's really, you know, your voice matters. So speaking of your voice matters, next year will be the start of, you know, our new 3-year strategic plan. This year is when we close it out, the 23 to 26, and then 26 to 29 is the new wave of, right, strategic plan. But we're doing it a little different this time, Tim.
Okay.
This time we have partnered with HYA, which is a search firm, but also does services with, you know, school districts around helping them with their strategic planning in terms of establishing focus groups and interviews, right? Sometimes, you know, I call it like when the mirror is too close to me, I can't see my face, right? But if I pull that mirror back and then I could see a better picture.
Sure.
So the HYA will be reaching out to, you know, community members, some of our educators, some classified certified staff, board members to do interviews, right? And even, you know, students.
Right.
But they'll also be launching surveys, right, to the community, to families, because we really want to be able to incorporate what is our aspiration? What, you know, what is a profile of a Freeport graduate, right? And with that, we need to be able to hear the different stakeholder groups say, you know, because we have a lot of community members who graduate. They're so invested, you know, in this community, right? And most of the time, people will go on social media to say something that's not working well, but will anyone go to say what's working well? So
exactly
I challenge
right.
people to do that, right?
Right.
So we're also building a coalition of like a focus group that will kind of draw some trends and patterns of what's being said across the district and formulate, you know, what we call the 3-year strategic plan. So it really will be a blueprint in the next from the 26 to 29 of what is a profile of a Freeport grad and how do we all become part of nurturing that?
So from the one that closes out, do you just like erase it like a blackboard and start
everything
new?
We do some progress monitoring on like, you know, so let's say for the one that's going to close out, we're trying to hit like attendance will be 93%, right? That's
right.
what we, you know,
okay.
30% of our students should hit proficiency. So there are specific targets with a 3-year strategic plan, but there's also those three core, I call it the big commitment, right? One is academic achievement, you know, or academic excellence. So we align everything that we do in the district to one of those, you know, three core commitments. Operational efficiency, you know, so yeah.
Well, Dr. Ann Alvarado, it's going to be a good year.
Yeah, it is. We only have 34 new teachers this year.
That's great.
Oh my God. Years ago, it was, you know, we needed, but you know, HR has really worked on, retention, you know, hiring, recruitment and retention, especially. So we have the smallest new teacher cohort in a decade due to retention. 9 out of 10 long-term substitute are grow our own people.
Nice.
Who will be teachers here one day.
Nice.
So investing in our own, sure, you know, staff to become teachers here in the future, I can't think of a better strategy for, you know, for long-term gain.
There are so many people in this community that are proud to be a pretzel.
Yes. Pretzel pride is real.
Yes, it is.
But we can't just walk the walk. We got to talk too, right? Talk and talk and walk and walk.
Okay. Yeah. And everybody knows you and I both know how to talk.
That's right. We could do this forever.
We could. Everybody, this is Dr. Anna Alvarado. She's one of the best. And thank you so much, Anna, for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate you so much.
You too.
Let's have a great year.
Let's have one.
Okay.